Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is not walking away from the central bank just yet. Powell says he plans to remain on the Fed's governing board for some period of time after his term as chairman ends next month. That is unusual, and it highlights both the economic and political pressure the Fed's been under in recent years. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a former vice chair of the Fed about Powell's tenure. But we're going to start with Powell's last news conference as chairman.
NPR's Scott Horsley has chosen to remain at NPR's business desk for the time being. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
What did Powell say exactly?
Powell had been very guarded up until yesterday about what he would do when his term as chairman expires. Fed chairs usually step aside at that point. But Powell has the option to remain on the Fed's governing board through early 2028. And at his last news conference as chairman, Powell said he's going to exercise that option, at least for a while, in an effort to safeguard the Fed's ability to operate without political pressure. President Trump has really tried to break down those boundaries. He's threatened to fire Powell. He tried to fire another Fed governor. The Justice Department even launched a criminal investigation of the Fed. Powell and his colleagues have resisted those efforts up until now, but Powell says the battle's not over, and that's why he's sticking around.
I am confident that the Fed will continue to make its decision based on analysis, rigorous analysis, and not on political considerations, but we've had to fight for it.
Powell did say he plans to keep a low profile once he's no longer chair. He won't be competing with Kevin Warsh, who appears to be headed for Senate confirmation, to be the next leader of the central bank.
Okay, the thing that affects us most directly here is interest rates. The Fed didn't change them on Wednesday. Kevin Warsh has been talking about lowering them, but what about the other people who vote on this?
Yeah, they're not going to go along right away, I don't think. We're in this tricky environment where inflation's getting worse, not better, partly because of the war with Iran, which has triggered a sharp spike in energy prices. The average price of regular gas jumped another 7 cents overnight. So far, those high gas prices don't seem to be forcing most families to cut back spending elsewhere. Chief Economist Mark Zandi of Moody's Analytics suspects one reason is a lot of people just got their tax refunds, and because of the GOP tax cuts, those refunds are bigger on average this year than last.
And I do think the tax refunds were really critical. I mean, particularly in the month of March, that's kind of the peak of the refund checks. That really does help, particularly lower middle-income households who are more cash-strapped. That refund goes right into spending.
But, of course, tax refunds come only once a year. So if gas prices stay high, we could see some erosion in families' abilities to keep spending on things like restaurant meals and vacations once we get into the spring and summer.
How's the broader economy doing?
Not bad. We got a report from the Commerce Department this morning showing the U.S. economy grew at an annual rate of 2% in January, February, and March. Now, that report's a little dated since the wartime price hikes only started in the last of those months, but it does show the economy was stronger in the first quarter than it was at the end of last year when we hit the speed bump of that six-week government shutdown. A big part of what's driving that growth is spending by wealthy families who feel good about the booming stock market and home values. Zandi notes the richest 20% of families account for 60% of all personal spending.
Wow.
That gives you a real clear sense of how top-heavy consumer spending in the economy is. And, you know, when things are going well and the stock market's hitting record highs on a daily basis, that's going to provide a lot of juice to the spending by that group, and it's going to keep the economy moving forward. But it feels like it would be much more healthy if we saw a broader distribution of spending.
GDP is also getting a boost from all the business investment in data centers and artificial intelligence. The housing market is still in a slump, though, so the residential portion of GDP looks pretty weak.
NPR's Scott Horsley, thanks as always.
You're welcome.